Personal log, Chief Engineer Geordi LaForge, Stardate 44885.5. I am en route to the planet Ryza to attend an artificial intelligence seminar. Captain Picard has ordered me to arrive a few days early to have some fun and relax. I intend to follow his orders to the very best of my ability. How about some different music, computer? Something with a Latin beat. No, I meant something with a gentle Latin beat. Maybe a Spanish guitar. Perfect. Hey, what's the weather like on Ryza?
Ryza is climate controlled for optimum tourist comfort.
Is that right? And about how long till we get there?
Arrival at Ryza is scheduled for 0932 hours.
Ooh, 3 hours. How about a game, computer?
Please restate request.
Something to pass the time, you know, a diversion.
Select either visual interactive or verbal interactive.
Verbal.
You have 20 seconds to respond to each question. Level of difficulty will increase as you progress. Proceed when ready.
Begin.
List the resonances of the subquantum states associated with transitional relativity.
That's easy.
In alphabetical order.
Asymmetrical, inverted, phased, stable.
Your time has expired. The fifth resonance is
universal. I knew that. Okay, give me another one.
List the field patterns associated with warp modulation in order of decreasing energy.
Oh, okay, there's the Aphne cell associative, the full... Ho! Computer! Sequence 010, maximum power to the shields, kill the music. Enterprise, this is Shuttle 7, I've encountered a Romulan warbird. Coordinates are 3...
Warning, shield failure.
Damn! Ryza control! Anybody!
His body becomes a cloud of shimmering green light and he is beamed out of the cockpit as the Romulan craft glides ever closer. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek: The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled The Mind's Eye, voiced by Glenn MacCready. The Federation Starship Enterprise journeys into the wild beauty of the unknown.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troi, and Brent Spiner as Lieutenant Commander Data. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn pushes the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines of the Enterprise power up, explosive fusion build to warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light.
Captain's log, Stardate 44891.6. The Enterprise has been ordered to accompany a special emissary from the Klingon High Council to the Creosian system, where one of their colonies is fighting for independence.
There was a time when the Empire would crush a rebellion. Now it is tolerated. Have enough troubles on the home planet, so we don't wish to divert resources to such a trivial war.
You're preparing to grant them independence?
Well, perhaps. Conquer them again later, if we wish.
May I ask, Ambassador, what has this to do with us?
The governor of Krios is charged that the Federation is secretly aiding the rebels.
Does he have evidence?
The Counselor sent me here to examine that evidence. It was my decision to invite you to accompany me, Captain. Many on the Council have great respect for you.
Hello. I have been pleased to offer occasional assistance to the Klingon people in the past.
Your modesty is very human, Captain. I will excuse it.
But I can assure you, Ambassador, that the Federation would never interfere in the internal affairs of the Empire.
Let us hope not. Such interference would strike at the very basis of our alliance.
Captain, we are in the war zone.
Indeed. Ambassador, I will ask our Chief Security Officer, Lieutenant Worf, to make a report.
Captain, Worf's discommendation makes that very awkward. If I could work with one of the other security officers...
Lieutenant Worf is my Chief of Security and my tactical officer. This matter clearly falls within his jurisdiction.
As you wish.
The ambassador attempts a weak smile. Meanwhile, LaForge's shuttle is caught in a Romulan tractor beam, while he is roughly manacled and strapped into a sinister-looking chair.
Hey, take it easy.
Welcome, Mr. LaForge.
We've waited a long time to meet you. I can tell you've gone to a lot of trouble.
Indeed we have. You are going to be of great help to us.
Huh. I wouldn't count on it.
His Romulan captor nods, and at his signal, an exact double of LaForge approaches from the shadows and puts on a visor identical to the real LaForge's.
Good. Very good.
The double makes to leave.
Do not enjoy yourself too much, Unriser.
The sinister doppelganger nods his reply and is gone. LaForge's visor is removed.
Hey!
Your visor will be returned to you. But first, I want to show you something.
Show me something? That'll be a nice trick, seeing as how I can't see anything without the visor.
That is not quite true.
Metal probes have swung close to LaForge's temples and extended until they touch his own flashing micro-implants.
Allow me to demonstrate. I now have direct access to his visual cortex. He has no choice but to see what I wish him to see. I can feed him any image I choose. He will be unable to ignore it. His galvanic skin response has increased 9%. It seems Commander LaForge, like many humans, has a low tolerance for watching others suffer.
Why are you doing this?
I am sorry, Commander. It is a necessary step. I apologize for your discomfort. Here.
He taps a button.
Observe how a spring day on his native Earth affects him. He's looking at a beautiful meadow, green trees, birds, a blue sky. The heartbeat slows, the galvanic skin response drops. The body responds to our stimuli. He is incapable of maintaining control of his own responses. Watch as I change the stimuli again. Once our work is done, LaForge will act normally, totally unaware of his conditioning. The perfect tool for our purpose.
Will there be any physical evidence of what you are going to do to him?
None, Commander. That is why we chose LaForge. The utilization of his pre-existing neural implants makes our work impossible to detect.
How will we be certain your procedure has been successful?
I will program him to perform a series of specific tests, both before he leaves us and after he returns to the Enterprise. We'll be able to verify his effectiveness. Notice that his heart rate has slowed somewhat. He is becoming accustomed to the horrors he is witnessing. So, we change horrors.
The face of the commander is hidden in shadow as she and the others impassively observe LaForge's increasing terror. Back aboard the Enterprise.
There have been two rebel attacks on neutral freighters. One the Ferengi and the other Cardassian.
Both were engaged near the Icanian asteroid belt. That's where the rebels must be hiding.
The actinides in the asteroids provide positive protection against our sensors.
They might attack a freighter, but I doubt they would challenge a Federation starship.
Especially with the Federation furnishing them support.
You would test the captain's word with me, Kel? Is it because I have no honor in your eyes that you expect me to be disloyal?
Wrong of me to ask. My apologies.
Captain Picard does not lie. If he says there is no Federation assistance to the rebels, there is none.
Good.
Because I risk my own reputation and honor coming to Picard.
He will not disappoint you. If that is all.
There are some members of the High Council who would thank you, Worf.
Thank me?
For killing Duras. No doubt that had he lived, one day he would ascend to head the Council. Many were not looking forward to that.
My motives were personal, not political.
Motives? Who cares for motives? Humans, perhaps. What matters is you acted on that day as a true Klingon.
Worf is taken aback for a moment before bowing curtly and leaving. The ambassador remains pensive. Meanwhile, drinks are being served as LaForge and the Romulan stand at a bar. LaForge's visor has been returned to him.
Thanks. So, I gotta shut the whole system down.
Where are we, Mr. LaForge?
This is 10 forward.
Who is that man sitting over there?
That's Chief O'Brien.
How long has he served with you?
Almost 4 years.
I want you to kill him.
Okay.
Take this phaser and kill Chief O'Brien.
LaForge approaches O'Brien's table calmly but purposefully. At the last moment, he hesitates and regards the phaser in his hand. He turns back to the Romulans.
So, I give it a closer look, and sure enough...
Free simulations. Commander, did you understand my request?
Well, I don't...
Look at me. Now, what did I ask you to do?
Kill Chief O'Brien.
Then do as I asked. Resume program.
Well, you know what that means. But that's a weird game. Because now I have to...
O'Brien turns to him.
Good, Mr. LaForge. Very good. Why don't you enjoy a drink with your friends?
Mind if I join you guys?
Sure.
LaForge calmly makes his way to O'Brien's overturned chair, flips the corpse onto the floor, and takes the seat.
He still hesitated. Prepare the equipment for another session.
The henchman nods and does as he's told, while LaForge himself makes a toast as O'Brien's simulated corpse is propped clumsily in a corner behind him.
Captain's log, stardate 44896.9. We are orbiting Krios, awaiting our first meeting with the Klingon governor. Commander LaForge has rejoined the Enterprise from Risa.
Welcome back, Geordi.
Data!
How was the seminar?
Very informative. I'll tell you all about it.
It is fortunate we were able to coordinate your return on the Tal'Darian cruiser.
Yeah. When I heard the Enterprise had been ordered to the Krios system, I thought I might be forced to endure another couple of weeks on Risa.
I'm sorry to hear you did not enjoy yourself.
I was joking.
Joking? Ah. Forced to endure Risa. Your actual intent was to emphasize that you did enjoy yourself. Yes. I see how that could be considered quite amusing.
I missed you, Data.
They enter the bridge.
Commander LaForge.
Permission to come aboard, Captain.
Granted. Welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
Commander LaForge is my chief engineer.
Commander?
He's been attending a seminar on artificial intelligence on Risa.
I'm glad we got you back, Geordi. We're going to need your help on this one.
Data tells me that the Federation has been accused of aiding Kryosian rebels.
We're being presented with evidence today. We'll need your help in analyzing it.
Anything I can do.
Deanna Troi accompanies him.
You had a good time.
Does it show?
You're more relaxed than I've ever seen you.
Captain, Governor Vog has signaled he is ready to meet with you.
Very well. Advise him that we will transport down to the surface immediately. Ambassador.
Commander Riker.
What is it, Data?
Our sensors have detected a brief energy fluctuation in the E-band.
The E-band? That's unusual. What's the source?
Unknown, sir. E-band emissions are difficult to localize.
Collapsing protostars sometimes emit E-band bursts.
Yes, sir. However, there are no protostars in this sector.
You better do a complete scan. Keep me posted.
Yes, sir.
the Canarians who've actually done the most advanced work in artificial intelligence, so I spent a lot of time in their research seminars.
Jordy, I get the feeling that something special happened on this vacation, and I'm not talking about computers.
Well, I did take second place in a chess tournament.
Yes.
And I swam a lot. I worked on my backstroke. The water is very calm on Riser.
And
I walked a lot. That's all. Well, I ate enough for 12 people. The food there is terrific. They've got a chocolate there, counselor, that you would love.
And that's all?
Yeah. Well, there was this.
Yes?
Her name is Jonik.
Oh.
But, you wouldn't want to hear about that. Better get ready for duty. Nice talking to you, counselor.
She's left, open-mouthed and disappointed not to have got the full story. Shaking her head, she leaves. A view of a spectacular Klingon skyline with mountain ranges beyond.
We talk, we socialize, we waste time, and the insurrection continues to grow. These rebels need to be crushed, not conned.
Governor, it does not matter what you or I think. The High Council has made its wishes clear.
The Council should be more interested in Federation interference.
Governor, exactly what do you think the Federation has done?
Your medical supplies have been found in rebel strongholds.
We make no effort to restrict access to our medical supplies.
Are your weapons also freely available?
No, they are not.
Then explain this.
Picard deftly catches a rifle tossed to him by the governor.
You took this weapon from the rebels?
That and many more like it.
It does appear to be Federation issue.
Governor, with your permission, I would like to take this weapon back to the Enterprise to verify its origin.
As you wish. I have hundreds more.
But even if these weapons are genuine, I can assure you that a third party must have been involved. The Federation is not in the business of supplying arms to rebels.
This is the only Klingon colony on the border of Federation space. You cannot deny that Starfleet would be happy to see Krios gain its independence. It would reduce your vulnerability to an attack.
Governor, you speak as if we are enemies and not allies.
And you speak the lies of a Tarkek!
Picard approaches the governor until they are almost nose to nose.
Okay, Jabba! Gentlemen.
You swear well, Picard. You must have Klingon blood in your veins.
The adversaries put a little space between them.
Governor, I will report to you as soon as the analysis of that weapon is complete. Captain.
Commander.
Enterprise, 3 to transport.
The governor looks on, unconvinced. In the reactor room of the Enterprise, LaForge and the crew regard the pulsating blue core.
Intercooler flux down to 5%. Plasma deviation steady at 0.72.
Aye, sir.
Well, you guys keep running at this efficiency, I might as well go back to Ryza for another week. Just run through a level 4 series and then call it a night, huh? I'd help you, but there's something I've got to take care of.
LaForge enters the ship's bar and coolly regards O'Brien, who's at a table poring over a handheld PC.
Red Torian, please. Thank you.
LaForge approaches O'Brien's table and tips his drink over O'Brien's shoulder.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Glass, it just slipped.
It's nothing, just a little cold.
Yeah, but you're all soaked here, right?
It's nothing serious.
Let me get something to wipe it out.
No, I'll just go to my quarters and change.
You sure?
Don't think twice about it, Commander.
The Ambassador and Riker have observed the incident from an adjacent table. LaForge nods to himself, well satisfied. LaForge is staring down the sight of a pulse rifle.
Energy flows within normal parameters, from the pre-fire chamber to the emission aperture.
Rapid nadian pulse, right on target. Beam control assembly, safety interlock, both checked out.
Beam width, intensity controls, also responding correctly.
Energy cell usage remains constant at 1.05 megajoules per second. Curious. The efficiency reading on the discharge crystal is well above Starfleet specifications.
Yeah, by quite a bit. 94.1% efficiency.
Our most efficient discharge crystal typically fires with 86.5% efficiency.
Let's take a closer look at the wave pattern on the emission beam. That might tell us why it's losing so little energy.
Pulse frequency out of pre-fire chamber reads steady.
There. That's not right. The initial output spike is inverted.
That might suggest the weapon has been charged with a forced pulse, well into the terahertz range.
Then it's definitely not Starfleet issue. And there can't be that many systems that use the terahertz feeds.
327 to our knowledge. We can probably achieve an exact match with a random computer search. It will take approximately 3 hours.
I think we can narrow this down with a little common sense, Data. Who has the most to gain from a conflict between the Klingon Empire and the Federation?
Data is quizzical. LaForge now addresses the Ambassador, Governor, and Picard.
The Romulans. They fashioned the perfect Federation rifle, but they had to charge it from their own energy sources. So the discharge crystal and the emission beam pattern both correspond to those you'd find in a Romulan disruptor.
The Romulans have no interest in Kryosian independence. This planet is too far from their borders.
But they do have an interest in driving the Federation and the Empire apart. Our alliance is the only thing that has kept them in check.
Romulan replications using stolen Federation technology?
It's a typical Romulan ploy. An attempt to sow dissension and mistrust. Commander, you've done very well. I would thank you on behalf of the Empire.
I still have my doubts, Picard. I will want my own technicians to confirm your findings.
Of course. My staff will give you their full cooperation.
You may go.
The Governor is left alone, granite-faced.
Another E-band blip?
Yes, sir. However, the difference in intensity indicates that this one did not originate in the same location as the first.
If it's changed intensity, it can't possibly be a protostar.
That is a reasonable assumption.
Is there any known instance of the Romulans using E-band for communication?
Not to my knowledge, sir.
Can you track the source?
We can reconfigure the primary sensor array. If we narrow their focus to scan for E-band emissions, we might be able to calculate a directional vector, but only if there are more occurrences.
Do it.
LaForge is working in a cargo bay.
Computer, reroute the power flow in the cargo bay 4 transporter through the auxiliary replicator system.
Please verify command with necessary protocol.
Initiate protocol 364-B.
Verify priority clearance.
Recognize LaForge, Theta 2, 997.
Acknowledged. Power has been rerouted through auxiliary power distribution system code number 44762.
Now, redirect transporter mode to the planetary sensor array.
Transporter mode has been redirected.
A large cargo box is transported.
Verify that all record of these modifications are being erased from each directory.
Affirmative. Erasure process is proceeding.
LaForge enters the bridge.
Sir, we are being hailed by Governor Varg.
On screen, Mr. Worf. Governor!
You astonish me, Picard. Did you seriously believe you would succeed? Do you think we are blind?
I don't understand.
We intercepted the weapons you tried to transport to the surface.
Governor, I assure you...
Do not insult us both by denying it. Maintain your position until further notice. Do not attempt to leave orbit.
Klingon attack cruiser uncloaking, sir.
On screen.
Two birds of prey approaching.
The attack cruiser is flanked by the deadly birds of prey, and all three vessels face the Enterprise. The standoff continues.
Sensors confirm an unauthorized transporter beam at 11:23 hours.
Do you know which transporter was used?
I'm not sure, Captain. Whoever did it apparently used the planetary array to bypass the transport sensors.
What about the transporter logs?
They're blank.
How many people on board are capable of this, Geordi?
I'm not even sure how it was done yet. As soon as I find out, maybe I can give you an answer. Not many, that's for sure.
Log is fully prepared to open fire on the Enterprise. I've convinced him it would not be wise to take any action without first consulting the High Council.
How long do we have?
A few hours at most.
Mr. Forge, your recommendations?
Well, it might be possible to locate the point of origin by tracing power flows at the time of transport.
Make it so.
The primary plasma system does not indicate a power drain from any of the transporters.
Then whoever used the transporter must have bypassed the primary feeds.
Tracking power from the secondary systems. No surges to any of the transporters indicated.
Damn. Who could have pulled this off? Try the life support power flows.
No abnormal surges indicated.
Replicator waveguides? There. That's not a replicator energy pattern. Trace it.
Cargo Bay 4.
The Forge to Warp. Security to Cargo Bay 4.
O'Brien runs a scanner over the Cargo Bay 4 transporter controls.
I've run a level 1 diagnostic. As far as I can tell, the unit hasn't been tampered with.
This has to be the transfer point.
Perhaps the perpetrator reprogrammed the memory chips to erase any record.
You're talking about 30 or 40 chips and half a dozen different control systems.
Which members of the crew could have accomplished that?
I think I could have done it if I put my mind to it. The Chief, Data, Lieutenant Costa, that's about it.
Procedure requires that I ask each of you where you were at 11:23 hours.
Well, I was with Keiko, in the Arboretum.
I was on the bridge at my station.
I was in my quarters.
Was anyone with you?
No, I was alone. And Costa was on duty in engineering. I'm sure he's got 20 witnesses.
And there is someone on board who isn't what he or she seems to be.
Data. Let's do a detailed scan on every chip in this assembly. There's got to be some kind of trail we can follow.
Data and LaForge report back to the Ambassador and Picard.
The isolinear chips were definitely altered.
Programmed to erase all operator commands once the transfer was complete.
But for the chips erased, what evidence remained?
The erasures were complete. However, an analysis of the subatomic structure revealed an almost undetectable residual pattern. In time, we may be able to reconstruct the perpetrator's authorization code.
You have any idea who's responsible?
No, sir. Everyone with the necessary skills also has an alibi. Except for me, that is. I was alone in my quarters at the time.
And whoever did this must have been specially trained for the task.
Our forensic team is trying to identify anyone who might have been in Cargo Bay 4 today.
It's not going to be easy. There are a lot of people in and out of there.
Riker to Data?
Yes, Commander.
Sensors have picked up another E-band emission.
Acknowledged. I will be there shortly.
E-band emission?
We've been picking up a curious intermittent blip. Commander Riker has speculated that it might be a Romulan transmission. I am attempting to track its source.
Proceed. Thank you, Mr. LaForge.
We do not have much time, Picard. Varg is not noted for his patience.
Assure him that we are doing everything possible. And advise him that if necessary, I will defend my ship.
With your permission, I will transport down to the planet.
Of course.
May I suggest that you issue an invitation to Governor Varg to personally witness your ongoing investigation?
Do you think he will come?
I will do everything in my power to see that he does. Kapla, Picard.
Kapla, Ambassador.
In his quarters, the Ambassador settles down to a meal of Klingon delicacies. Among the many different colors and textures, there are a great deal of tentacles. He smiles as he raises his glass to his lips.
Come in, Mr. LaForge. The investigation is moving faster than we expected. You're in danger of being exposed. I will transport to the surface, and when I return, I'll have Governor Varg with me. Your captain and I will bring him to the cargo bay. I want you to kill him there in front of many witnesses. use a hand phaser. When he is dead, you will claim that you acted on behalf of Starfleet in support of Kryozian independence.
I understand.
The ambassador enjoys a forkful of his feast. In his sleeping quarters, LaForge is having a bad dream. Visor off, his temple implants are blinking in the darkness.
LaForge to O'Brien. O'Brien!
Go ahead, Commander. What can I do for you?
Nothing. Chief, I'm sorry to disturb you. I'm sorry.
LaForge enters the sick bay.
Hiya, Doc.
Geordi, hi. What can I do for you?
Well, I just can't seem to get any sleep. I was hoping you could give me something.
Sit down. Let's take a look. You couldn't sleep at all?
Yeah, I was restless. I kept waking up.
Would you take off your visor, please?
She passes some handheld scanners over his head.
Is there something on your mind?
No, I don't think so.
Well, everybody goes through these occasional bouts of insomnia. There's probably nothing to worry about. Let's just make sure that there's nothing physically wrong. There's a minor vascular irregularity in the visual cortex. A slight dilation of the blood vessels. It's nothing serious. What about your visor? Has it been giving you any problems lately?
Nothing out of the ordinary.
All the same, it might be a good idea to have it examined when we get to Starbase 36 next month. In the meantime, I will get you a somnetic inducer to put by your bed. It'll help you to sleep.
Thanks, Doc. Sure, I'll be fine.
Picard enters the transporter room.
Energize. Governor Varg, thank you for coming.
You can thank Ambassador Kell. I am here against my better judgment.
Captain, I think the first thing the governor should see is the investigation underway in the cargo bay.
Of course.
Meanwhile, Riker quizzes Data.
From inside the Enterprise, you're sure?
The first and third E-band blips were clearly generated on board the ship. The second came from the planet's surface.
Generated by what?
Unknown, sir.
Mr. Data, we have a known spy on board. And now we have unexplained signals on board. I think it's reasonable to assume that they're related somehow, don't you?
One could speculate that the E-band was being used as some form of covert communication.
We need more than speculation, Mr. Data. We need to know who, what, where, when, and why. Or we may be going to war.
Yes, sir.
Computer, run an analysis of all known Romulan transmission formats. All bands. Identify any commonalities with displayed waveform.
No commonalities noted.
Does this waveform match that of any known communication format?
Negative.
Broaden search pattern beyond communications. Does the waveform displayed conform to any natural phenomena, cryptographic formats, or lifeform EM emissions?
The signal corresponds to a delta-compressed wavelength spectrum similar to human neural frequencies.
As in a human brainwave pattern?
Affirmative.
What kind of receiver would be capable of processing these signals?
A system designed to modify the electromagnetic spectrum and carry those messages directly to the human brain.
Data raises an eyebrow. LaForge, meanwhile, leaves his quarters armed with a phaser. In the launch bay, Data investigates the shuttle.
Computer, link with the shuttle's onboard system. Access the isolinear storage assembly. Scan all chips which contain mission logs. Note any discrepancies.
No discrepancies noted.
Perform a level 5 diagnostic on the shuttle's navigational and power systems.
The components specified are all within normal tolerances.
Data frowns as LaForge takes the ship's elevator down, ever closer to his target, Governor Varg. LaForge's face betrays no emotion.
My technicians have examined all of the ship's transporters, sir. I can assure you, this is the only unit that has been tampered with.
LaForge strides purposefully down a corridor, checking he's not been observed.
Computer, scan the shuttle's structural integrity.
Submicroscopic deformations are present in the nose section and aft thrusters.
Probable these veins.
The shuttle has been subjected to stress consistent with a tractor beam.
Data tries to make sense of what he's heard while LaForge enters Cargo Bay 4. He coolly studies the investigation in progress. His fingers minutely adjust his visor, and slowly, carefully, he starts to take his phaser out of its holster.
All of our transporter containers are produced with a slight impurity in the structural alloy, which allows us to trace our material back to the exact replicate.
Commander LaForge, can I do for you, Chief? Could you take a look at the pattern buffers? Considering what's happened, I'm not sure the control systems are reliable.
Sure. Sure, let's take a look.
Computer, I am reading anomalous variations in the molecular structure of these memory chips. Please confirm.
Analysis confirmed.
Probable cause.
Replication.
Compare these variations with established Romulan replication patterns.
The patterns are identical.
And maybe we should run a level 1 diagnostic on those phase transition flaws.
Right, Commander.
O'Brien leaves LaForge with his target right in front of him, just across the cargo bay.
Data to LaForge.
Report, please. Geordi. Please respond. Computer, current location of Commander LaForge.
Cargo Bay 4.
Data to Lieutenant Worf.
Priority 1.
Go ahead.
Take Commander LaForge into custody immediately.
Sir.
That is an order.
Worf cranes round from his ladder to see LaForge slowly approaching Governor Varg. Worf tries to do something, but is intercepted by two Klingon guards. Picard grabs LaForge's wrist and jerks it upwards just as the trigger is pulled.
LaForge!
Dumbstruck, Picard takes the phaser from LaForge's hand.
Mr. Worf, get him out of here.
Arming our enemies is not enough. Now the Federation would murder me to achieve its aims.
Governor, if I could explain this, I would.
I believe I can help, Captain. I've been able to determine that Commander LaForge was abducted by Romulans en route to Risa. It is likely that he was somehow forced to take part in the plot to assassinate Governor Varg.
I saw no evidence of Romulans. We just witnessed him acting very much alone.
No, sir. You did not. I do not believe the commander is acting of his own accord. He has been receiving E-band signals through his visor, signals which are carrying direct commands to his brain. I have surmised that Commander LaForge was conditioned by Romulans, a process referred to historically and somewhat inaccurately as brainwashing.
But to what end? Why would the Romulans want to kill me?
The Romulans have always wanted to destroy the alliance between the Federation and the Klingons. If Mr. LaForge had killed you, Governor, I think you would agree. They might have succeeded.
Who sent these signals? A cloaked Romulan ship?
No, sir. That is not possible. The signals had to be transmitted within close proximity to the visor.
Are you suggesting that there was a Romulan accomplice in close proximity to Mr. LaForge when he was receiving the signals?
Yes, sir. I am.
This Romulan accomplice. Who is he?
I have narrowed the list of possibilities to two people. The only two people who were with Commander LaForge all three times the transmission was recorded. Captain Picard and Ambassador Kell. One of them may be concealing an E-band transmitter. If they would agree to be searched...
I am a Klingon, an emissary of the High Council. I will not submit to being searched by you or anyone else on this ship.
I am forced to agree, Captain.
We will take the ambassador with us and search him ourselves.
Captain, I believe it to be in all our best interest if I remain aboard. I formally request asylum.
I will certainly grant you asylum when you have been absolved of this crime.
Captain Taylor!
Klingon party, including a terrified ambassador, beams away. LaForge is with Counselor Deanna Troi, trying to make sense of recent events.
But I remember everything! Like, there was this one night at dinner, we had this Andorian waiter, he couldn't get our orders right. It did happen! I remember being on Ryza.
I know you do. Just take that memory and put it aside for a moment. And tell me everything you remember about the shuttlecraft trip after you left the Enterprise.
Well, I was just trying to get in the mood. I played some music to the computer. You know what it's like on a long trip.
And when you saw the Romulan ship, did you try and call for help?
No, the first thing I did... Wait a minute, that... But that's...
It'll take time, Geordi. A long time. But we will reconstruct your memory. Together.
I'm just not sure.
Believe it or not, that's a good sign. A beginning. Now, let's go back to the shuttlecraft. There was a Romulan ship, and the first thing you did was...
LaForge grapples with his confused memories as he begins the long struggle to piece together all that has happened.